Bible reading this morning comes from 1 Timothy chapter 4 verses 1 to 8. You'll find that on page 1175 of the Church Bibles. 1 Timothy chapter 4, starting at verse 1. The Spirit clearly says that in later times some will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. Such teachings come through hypocritical liars whose consciences have been seared as with a hot iron. They forbid people to marry and order them to abstain from certain foods, which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and who know the truth. For everything God created is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving, because it is consecrated by the word of God and prayer. If you point these things out to the brothers, you will be a good minister of Christ Jesus, brought up in the truths of the faith and of the good teaching that you have followed. Have nothing to do with godless myths and old wives' tales. Rather, train yourself to be godly. For physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come.
Keep your Bibles open there at 1 Timothy chapter 4. We're going to move around the Bible as we think about the topic of health, but we'll spend a fair bit of our time there. But I'll pray and ask for God's help. Our Father, please do help us to understand the good gifts that we receive from your hand, that we might use them differently to the world around us, that we would use them not for us, but rather for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I'm sure for most of us that as the new year clicked around, we would have at least had some thought toward New Year's resolutions. And if you're anything like the culture surround us, health would no doubt have made it up there somewhere in your list. In fact, in the UK this year, what do you think topped the list? But in fact, good health. So have the Brits got it right? Well, today we're going to head to God's Word, the Bible, to see what it has to say about health. But not only what it says, but also how would we view health? How should we view it differently as followers of Jesus? Now, it should be said that as we come to consider a topic like health, we all possess varying levels of health. It's an issue that is affected by our age, our hereditary makeup, and the challenges that exist due to life in a fallen world. We're not going to be able to capture all there is to say about health. But in the end, what we'll try to do is sort of land where our modern sort of Western interest in health, exercise and diet, the type of thinking that is probably be behind a lot of the New Year's resolutions. It must be acknowledged, though, as well, that there are some in our culture in Australia today that lack an interest in health or have any sort of motivation toward it. But what we're trying to do is ask the question, how should our life as followers of Jesus differ when it comes to thinking about health? So we're going to open up the Bible to see what it has to say about health. Well, the Bible makes it clear from the outset that health is, in fact, good. From the opening pages of the Bible, we see that God creates us, that he creates us with physical bodies in a physical world, that we can use our health to do good things. Have a listen. This is from Genesis 1. It's probably pretty familiar to you from verse 28. God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea and the birds in the sky, over every living creature that moves on the ground." So we're gifted with these physical bodies to subdue the creation, to live as vice regents over God's good world, that we might rule and care for the creatures that God made. It's funny, this week as I was sort of thinking about those images, I kept getting Tarzan in my mind. You know, this kind of dude who's at the peak of his physical fitness, living amongst the animals. I had a look, I watched the trailer and I was like, no, that's not it at all. You see, the picture we see here isn't a man who is ruled by apes, or a man who is in conflict with other humans. Rather, the picture of Genesis 1 is a man and a woman in a good world with a good task before them. They had to use whatever health they're granted to rule and serve the creation. So it's no surprise. We know how the chapter ends by saying it was all very good. Yet the funny thing is that for a large proportion of the church's history over the last 2,000 years, it has not really seen a health or the body or physicalness as a good thing at all. If anything, it was something to be suppressed at best. At worst, it was seen as bondage to escape from. In mind, health, and the body, it was seen as not good. So just quickly, quick history lesson. Here we go. What changed? Well, since the fall of humanity in Genesis 3, humanity falling out of relationship with God led to God's people in the first sort of centuries or many centuries following Jesus' life and ministry, they sought to seek to know the riches of knowing God. To achieve this riches with the divine, with God, they believed you needed to withdraw from the world, from our sort of physical world. This withdrawal would mean you would try to subdue the flesh, the body, in order so that you could be devoted to God. One prominent Christian thinker in the 4th century, this is what he had to say. The body, physical body, is a place of confinement and correction for the soul. The body or physical health was given over to harsh treatment. Types of food were chosen to contain human desire. Get this. Bran, lentils, salt, olives, vinegar and prunes. You might think, geez, that'd keep you regular. But you see, these things weren't about keeping you regular. That they were trying to reduce desire. They were trying to dry the body out from desire. Unfortunately, in the churches in these period, and even that this sort of idea can still linger in churches today, seeing the body and health not as good, but as bad. Maybe for some of them, they were confused with, you know, Jesus' teaching about we need to be not of the world. They saw it to refer to these things, though, that what makes us human about our physicality, food, sex and the body. But the error most likely lay in something the early church had to battle with as well. That they had to fight against this dualism. This dualism, it disliked the physical world. It was hostile to all things material. The body, health, was the enemy. You see, this is the kind of thinking that's probably going on from our reading there in 1 Timothy 4. Rather than attacking the body and physical health, though, Paul affirms the body. He reminds us that it is, in fact, good. Why don't you have a look? 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3. They forbid people to marry and order to abstain from certain foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and who know the truth. For everything God created is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving. Just a quick note as well. I'm working from the new NIV as well. I'm just getting you ready for February. And also it's easy to find on the internet. But here what Paul does in verse 3 and 4 of 1 Timothy 4, he takes us back to the garden and he reminds us of God's assessment of the physical world, of the physical bodies of health. And it's the same as God's assessment in the garden. It was good. And so Paul reminds God's people, he says, we don't deny our health, we don't suppress it, we don't attack the body. We see our health as good. We accept it. We embrace it. We rejoice in it. You see, our healthy bodies, our physicality is not something to be bound in and shackled down, hidden away, like some powerful young colt, you know, that is left in this tiny yard, tied down, unable to express its full potential. No, that power can be guided, released, harnessed to the point that you can step back and to see this creature, you watch it and you rejoice and you give thanks for it. So to find good health in New Year's resolutions, like we saw with those in the UK, is not a bad thing. Because the Bible declares our physical bodies and health as a wonderful gift from God. It's something that we can cherish. And yet there are some, even followers of Jesus, that don't see any point. What is the point of maintaining your health? Certainly not pursuing good health. And why is it? They might lack the will. They don't aspire toward good health. It's too hard. It's not very convenient. And it's far easier just to kind of cruise along. So what's the solution? Are the ones who, our friend Phyllis or Phil, perhaps, do we do that? Do we set our alarm clocks early each day, spending hours and hours each week, or at least desiring to, even if we can't do it, to cultivate and to pursue good health? Is it a better course to run that way when it comes to God's people achieving good health? Or do we just kind of need to fall somewhere in the middle? Well, the cool thing is that with so many things, the gospel provides a third way of looking at things, you know, to avoid the pitfalls of both these two views. And we heard it in the Bible reading today from 1 Timothy 4. You see, Paul, after correcting some false thinking about the body, he even suggests that physical training of the body is a thing of value. But to those of you who are in your Lorna Jane gear or have had your been sipping your protein shakes through the week, don't get too excited, because listen how Paul frames it. This is verse 8 of chapter 4. For physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things. There you go. Paul reveals the goodness of our health and the reality that even training our bodies is of some value, but it's not at all costs. As followers of Jesus, we give thanks for our health. We don't deny it. We give it thought. We can train the body. But we should realize that it's affected by the pursuit of good and godly things as well. So how can we use and develop, even train our health to do good and godly things? Well, we're going to consider that now. Well, we've seen the Bible declares that good health is a good gift from God. Something to be received with thanks and can be used for good and godly things like serving. Have a listen. This is Paul's encouragement to the church in Ephesians chapter 2. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Here Paul affirms what we already heard back in Genesis 1, that we are God's creation. Because do you hear it in Ephesians 2? He says, we are God's handiwork. And just like what we saw in Genesis 1, we had a role to do good. That even being in Christ, that command still stands. We continue to do good and godly things. God has always had good things to do for his people. So as God's handiwork, we are men and women crafted by God, by these skilled hands, men and women with physical bodies designed by God's mind. He has created us as men and women with a purpose to do good things. Is that helpful? I hope so. I think the phrase that Paul uses there is really excellent. It's so good. He goes, we are God's handiwork, God's workmanship. This will help us to understand the purpose of our health and how we can view it differently to the world around us. Because can you imagine God, you know, tinkering away in some massive shed, crafting? You know, it says, we are God's handiwork, God's workmanship. Here he is crafting, you know, this incredible thing, physical body so detailed. I remember sitting in an anatomy lecture at Southern Cross University with the lecturer Shai Zhou, and he goes, showing us all the detail of just the eye. And I remember thinking, man, that is so detailed, so amazing, just the eye. Such a small part of a bigger part of us. You know, no doubt God was designing our bodies with a great purpose. He had this amazing blueprint that these bodies of health would do good, godly work. And here I think this is the cash value. This is the place where we differ from the world. or where we maybe don't differ at all, is when it comes to the topic of health, and that is its purpose. Because I'm pretty sure that the reason so many in the UK, so many in Australia today, the reason we put down health, physical shape, diet in New Year's resolutions is not that we're trying to be buff to be top physical health so that we can do good works. Do you think that's why you do it? Not for me. If you're anything like me, my health and my physicality was much more about my image. Being accepted. You know, some of the things we saw in the kids talk. It's about my identity. It's about my purpose to outperform other people physically. That's what health is about. But shouldn't this better reflect our identity and purpose? This is Paul from Philippians 2. If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, if we can say yes to those things, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, rather in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. So here is the place that I think we ought to be different when it comes to the world and thinking about health. I admit, sort of through the week, thinking about my own life, I've thought always about health and diet and exercise as training as something purely about me, rather than seeing that health can be something about us. I've always seen it as individual, but as we come to God's word, we see that it can be about being corporate. And so this doesn't mean that whenever we do any sort of physical movement or training or exercise, we always, every time, everywhere, have to make it about others or include the interests of others, because there is an inherent goodness about physical movement. There is a joy that can come from movement for which we can simply stop and thank God for. For a couple of years, I taught about physical health in schools and the benefit it can bring and enjoyed being movement. Here, listen to this. This is a reading from a book called Don't Waste Your Sports. This is recounting some five-year-olds just embracing their health and the sheer excitement of movement. It's very good. Here we go. I had a delightful experience this week of watching a dozen five-year-old children get a tennis lesson. They were asked by their instructor to run forward and backward over a five-metre span. But they did far more than just run. They skipped, they leapt, they were bounding, hopping, dramatically falling over, jumping up again, purposely crashing into each other, spinning, laughing, running with closed eyes, and my favourite, and animal imitations. Of course, run to that line and back, kids, and you've got a mooing and yahooing. You see, good health in our physical bodies certainly is a marvellous gift from God. We celebrate its goodness. We give thanks for it. We embrace it. And yet we're different to the world when we think about it. The world will instinctively use health and make it all about me. But in the Bible, in the gospel, we can come and see that health is about others. So this other person-centeredness actually provides us good motivation. That goal, that ideal should mean that we want to exercise, we want to eat well, we want to maintain good health so that we might do good godly things. And yet there are some Christians that see all the good things that surround them, all the opportunities to help, and so they don't see that it's any good to worry at all about their own health. In its most extreme form, they've been called ministry machos. And they've said this about themselves. They've even developed a chant: I'd rather burn out than rust in the service of God. And yet here's, listen to this helpful critique. I admire the bravado of this sort of statement. It sounds dedicated, bold, even stirring. However, when I view the burnouts and almost burnouts that lie along the road of the church and service, the glory fails to reach me. I see pain and waste and unfinished service. Is there not a third alternative to either burning out or rusting out? And here they helpfully finish with Paul in Acts 20, verse 24. However, I consider my life worth nothing to me. My only aim is to finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the good news of God's grace. You see, when we understand the purpose that we've been called to as followers of Jesus, our service of others, then intentional self-care of our own health is not a matter of selfish pampering, but it's actually a way to maintain good and godly works of service over the long term. You see, it's about good health for good godly endeavour for a long life of service. Well, as we saw this morning, good health topped the list of the UK's New Year's resolutions. And today in the Bible we saw we can agree with the goodness of health. For good health is a good gift of God's creation. Something to be rejoiced in, celebrated, given thanks for, a tremendous gift that can be used for an enormous amount of good. And so we differ from the world, don't we, when we come to consider and think about health? It's true we share a commitment to its goodness, to fulfill, but we celebrate this goodness and we give thanks to God. We see that our physical health wasn't something that we have achieved ourselves, but it was a gift given to us. And so we rejoice and we give God the glory for it. Secondly, we aspire toward good health to fulfill our purposes as God's people, to relish this union with Christ by using our good health for good godly works. We maximize, we release, we harness our energy for others. Nike's got a famous commercial and it's called The Unlimited You. And it shows the picture, you're kind of expecting it to be all these incredible athletes, but it ends up just being ordinary people, at least from the United States. Ordinary people, and what they're doing is they're maximising every fibre of whatever they've got to the best of their ability. They're using it to muster all this health, just ordinary folk, and so it creates the ultimate you. It's got about 38 million views on YouTube. But the ad, as you expect, focuses on you. It focuses on your greatness, what you can do. And I guess it's ads like these that further feeds the thought that our health is about our individual, it's an individual feature, and so often it's about individual greatness. But here's what I'm suggesting, a health revolution in 2017. That in 2017, that we could be an unlimited us. What I mean is that we strive toward good health, and even though it might involve individual pursuits like swimming or running, whatever it is, the pursuit of health in 2017 can be together to maximise and to harness, to release our health to its limits. We push it to the boundaries so that it's unlimited for others. And yet for some of us it will mean seeing the goodness of good things. Seeing that pursuing good health just for ourselves, just for our own identity or our self-worth or our own pleasure, falls far short of the purposes to which our beautiful bodies were made and designed. Now, for some, as we thought about earlier, it's going to mean that you actually might need to consider looking after your body. You see all these good things around you, but you still need to want to think about how to live a rich life that will aid a long and prosperous life of service. And look, I guess there could even be some of us this morning, with all this talk of good works and good deeds, that somehow you might think living this life means I will prove my goodness to God. But this good life that we're aspiring to springs from the great one, Jesus, whose perfect life covered the imperfections of our life. And his death for us allows us to realign our purposes to which we were made by God. So here you go. Here's some suggestions. I'm sure you could come up with a more creative list. Here are five things so that we might experience a healthier 2017. Just a quick disclaimer. Like I said at the start, we're all gifted and blessed by God in regard to our body in different ways. And it means that our ability or the speed at which we attempt physical things and experience physical health is going to be constrained by these things. But here we go. Here's the list. One, cherish good health. Where it's possible, fuel your body with good food. And if your life is largely sedentary, like mine, often in front of a computer, train your body. Exercise. This will actually give you more energy by doing these things. It seems counterintuitive that you expel energy through exercise, but it actually gives you more energy. And this one's not a hard one to understand. Sleep more. If you sleep more, you will have more energy. Here's the second one. Write a list of good things. Consider the people who are in your life. Your family, your gospel community, friends that don't know Jesus. What good can you do for them? Write down a list, you know, a list of good, godly things. It might include, my health can mean I can help someone who has poorer health. My good health can enable me to have more energy, not for myself, but we can have more energy for your spouse and if you're a parent, for your children. My good health can mean I'm more mentally able to listen well to others who are struggling and need encouragement. It might take place in different settings where you're listening to someone in DNA, over coffee, over the phone. My health can mean I can help move others. Moving house, moving furniture. There's been a couple of people on the move over the summer. There's been a number of people from our church family lately that have used their good health to help others. Check out these guys. Look at that. Specimen of good health. This is the boys helping to move some of the furniture that was going under 99 Brewster Street, utilising their robust health for the good of others. And turn the light back on now. Even yesterday, we got the early morning call to help a lady in our gospel community move. The Christ call came. There was a call at 6 a.m. and then a little later saying the removalists were on their way and they didn't think she was going to be ready. So there was a number of us that stepped in and helped physically. For some of us, it even meant chasing after a dog, won't name names, chasing after a dog all around Gerrards Hill, because when the removalists came, the dog ran out the door, so someone had to run after the dog down toward the golf course to get the dog that had, anyway. But it was good. Utilizing your health for good things. Okay, here's number three. If you were young, just seeing who looked at me when I said, if you're young, even if you're young at heart, if you're young, cherish your good health. Hank, cherish it. Utilize it for good, okay? The mantra of the younger generation, now this is the world's mantra, is use, this is your life. Live your life. But God's word should challenge us to say, no, that's not true. This isn't your life. We were bought at a price by the blood of Jesus. Use your peak health for others. If you're young and you need ideas about how you can use your good health, just come and speak to me, okay? Come and speak to me. I've got some ideas on how I can put you to work. No, find someone, find a mature Christian that you can trust. Say, what are some good things that I can be doing? I don't want to waste my life. I want to make the most of it. Okay, number four, make a plan. If your health is not so good, make a plan to correct it. If your diet is not so good, make a plan. If you lack others in your life, then make a plan. Here's some advice from Professor Wiseman. He's from a London university. This is his some tips, he says, about keeping your New Year's resolutions. One, tell your friends and family what you're aiming for. Two, regularly remind yourself of the benefits of what you're doing. Okay, for us, this means, what are the benefits? What is the purpose for which I want to foster good health? Number three, expect to have small setbacks, but don't let these things make you give up. Number five, last one. As Youngie reminded us last week, our health is all gradually fading. The time is ticking for all of us. So we remind each other of the benefits of good health, but we remind each other, each other as followers of Jesus. We remind our friends who don't know Jesus that one day good health for the long term, one day it will fail. Our breath will stop. And yet, if your trust is in the Lord Jesus Christ, bang, in a blink of an eye, you will celebrate the renewing of your health in the new creation in physical bodies that are renewed for an eternity of a great celebration and thanks to God. I don't have a champagne glass or anything, but here's to a healthy 2017. Even if you are 14, even if you are 40, oh, happy birthday, Arcos. How old are you today? 40. Okay. Even if you're 74. May 2017 be a year in which we celebrate. We celebrate our health, our physical bodies. We give thanks to God. We utilize whatever we've got, whatever health we've got. We're going to push it, okay? Think Nike. We're going to get the ultimate up. We push ourselves to the ultimate. All people, get into Lycra in 2017. No, you don't have to get into Lycra. Putting on the joggers, eating well. We want the ultimate us. 2017, filled with the desire for good health, for the good of others, for the long term. Let's pray. Let's ask for God's help. Dear Father, we do want to thank you for the wonders of our bodies that you created, for the good health that we've enjoyed in them over our lives, and also the good works that you've prepared in advance for us to do. And of course, for your great son, Jesus, whose death allows us to rejoin your mission for the world. But Father, we confess that like the world, we can pursue good health in order that it might help us to feel more comfortable about ourselves, that we might look good, that we might have good health so that we might have give us a sense of self-worth. Well, Father, we can neglect our health, thinking it's just too hard a thing to develop. Or we might even be in danger of elevating it, giving it too much time, failing to see the good opportunities that are around us. So, Father, please help us to remember our worth, that we are created by you, that we are in union with Christ, and that we're partners in your mission in the world, that we might desire the good of others rather than ourselves, utilizing our good health for good godly things for our whole lives. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.